is 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow us on Twitter at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A little extra effort could earn you a star.
T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
I mean, it's you know, everyone's a competitor. So, you know, sometimes you're your worst own enemy when you're trying to do that. But, you know, it is what it is. And there's a big part of the process. And you know, I got a lot of guys... training staff helped me out, TB12, all that stuff, to get to where I want to be.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Touch from Rich. That is Julian Edelman before he got popped. We're still here now. For the PEDs.
Quickly, just because we're having him on. Did you see the picture that Dan Shaughnessy tweeted yesterday of him and Peter King back in the day? And he said, who had the better fro?
King's was outstanding, by the way.
Peter King had, like...
Peter King Jewish?
I don't know the answer.
I don't know.
So it was not the fro from...
I know what you're talking about.
Like
no,
Seth Rogen?
You can't say that, but yes.
Of course I can't say because it's so bad.
I know, but, you know.
Yeah, but he didn't have the Seth Rogen situation.
Yeah, no.
His was large and disheveled.
Yeah.
And Shaughnessy put a picture of him back in the day right next to him. And Shaughnessy, it looks like he's got a buzz cut compared to what Peter King was rocking.
Well, Peter King was rocking micro brews and just hanging out.
He was.
All right.
But Shaughnessy wrote a great article this morning. About
about Edelman's situation. And I'll read you one part of it. And then seconds after the media access to Belichick and Brady ended Thursday, came a report of Edelman's suspension. ESPN's estimable Adam Schefter, last seen catching passes from Brady at the Best Buddies event Friday night, broke the news with ESPN teammate Field Yates. The notion that Belichick is being unreasonable regarding Guerrero was dealt a body blow with the suspension of Edelman.
So that's kind of...
So he's the anti-current. On this matter.
The anti-Tom Curran.
Yes, Tom Curran, who is proselytized about the TB12 method, which I think is not on the level. But what do you think? That's on the level there, Danny Shaughnessy?
Of course not. I did have a question, though, with Wallach's very fine news report just now. Is there a report that it didn't come from Alex?
Yeah, it's just according. That's what we're debating here. I mean, that's what Tom Curran is reporting.
Yeah,
what is that supposed to mean? I mean, we don't even know what the substance is.
Okay, so...
Well, I guess his source, which one could speculate, it's probably Oscar Rowe because he's close to him.
Let me ask Dan this. But, do you think Curran is on the level with this story?
I think Tom Curran's a very fine reporter.
I didn't ask that. Do you think with this story and his relationship with Guerrero and Brady that he's on the level
Edelman.
With... And Edelman, that he's on the level with this?
I'd have to look at more of his reporting. Is Curran a client of Guerrero?
He has been.
Which he admitted in the story, by the way.
But that doesn't change anything.
I know that. I'm just fleshing. He obviously hasn't read it. That I'm telling him all of the circumstances around it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd need to see the whole thing, and I'm sorry I didn't catch up. I didn't know we were going to be talking about Tom Curran's report. But I think you're kind of disqualified when you're a client. I mean, that's just
in my view. I completely agree. All right,
just like Schefter catching passes at the Best Buddies event on Friday and then breaking the story as soon as media availability ended yesterday. That is classic Patriot media cartel activity.
One of the funnier phone calls I heard yesterday, and it was during Felger and Maz, was that the Patriots had, or the NFL had timed this announcement about Julian Edelman to get away from the Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning story that no one cares about.
Well, of course, that's the way that they work. All right, so in your article, you were talking about how this just adds more fuel to Bill Belichick's case or more ammo against Alex Guerrero. Now, how can you kind of describe why you think that in the end, Edelman being popped for PEDs ties him to Alex Guerrero? And are you saying that Alex Guerrero is responsible for the PEDs?
Gladly. I don't know if Alex is responsible for the PEDs. No one knows that. I mean, I guess some people do, but we certainly don't. And we're just connecting dots here, stabbing in the dark like we always do when it's about the Patriots, because no one gives anything up in Fort Foxborough. You understand that? Great. But you've got an issue where everybody knows that Belichick and Brady are at odds about Guerrero. He was taken, you know, Tom Spinkey was taken off the sideline last year, taken away from the team charters, and not allowed to work on players in the Patriots room unless they have to go down the street to the TB12 store to get worked on. So he's basically been kicked out by Belichick. That's not a big party starter for Tom Brady. We understand that because Guerrero has been great for Tom, so good for him. But there's clearly a split there. I believe when Tom says he's unappreciated, when he pleads the fifth, asks if he's appreciated, if he likes his coach, it's about this stuff. It's pretty obvious. So now Bill is getting pressured. Well, let Guerrero back. You know, let him back. It's not that bad. Let Tom have his way here. And then yesterday, another Guerrero client gets popped for PEDs. I mean, that gives Belichick a great weapon to say, hey, why would I want this guy around? We've already got the documentation of the feds shutting him down twice, the concussion juice, the Supreme Greens, the bad business partnerships down the road, representing himself in a doctor when he's not, lying about his degrees. I mean, and now one of his guys gets popped for PEDs. I mean, how much do you need if you're Belichick to say, no, we're not having this guy around?
All right, so part of the argument, and I don't disavow this, is that Edelman, I mean, it's not that big a deal because he'll save his body. But if Edelman is under a microscope about taking PEDs, at his age and his injury history, that's got to be very debilitating to him.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I mean, we kind of agree as adults here that everybody in the NFL
yes.
must be on
top. Yes, of course. It's yes, so absolutely.
It's so barbaric. It's just, but I think that, you know, the masking agents are good. The cheaters are ahead of the testers. We get all that. And the league doesn't want, it's like when you reference your Manning thing, the league doesn't want a lot of light shit on this because
yes.
it's like, we don't want to know how you make the sausage. You know, go away, just watch the football. So
sure.
I get all that. But I think that when Edelman gets popped, it's probably because there's been enough there, or it's been warned, or there's been other offenses, and they don't want to admit it, and it got out. It is out. I don't hold it against Julian Edelman, or, you know,
I don't either. But do you think it's debilitating? Well, first of all, I ask you this based on what you just said. I too believe that most NFL players are on performance enhancing drugs. But if you get popped, does it make it more difficult for you from then on?
I think so. And generally, the guys who do get caught, they're never the same. You go back to Ninkovich, yep, you know, yep, it was over. Yep, yep. Rodney Harrison was never the same player. I mean, look at that Sean Merriman, that great linebacker in San Diego Chargers. I mean, he was just all worlds, and then never the same once he got popped. And, you know, it tends to be guys that, you know, far into their careers, trying to hang in, and in a very barbaric, difficult sport. So we all understand, you know, the reasons for doing it, and the unfortunate part about getting caught. No one is saying Guerrero supplied it to him. But it's a bad look, and it gives Belichick a weapon to use against those who would argue to let Alex back.
Okay, well, Dan, if that's the case, and Bill Belichick continues to keep his foot down, you heard Tom Brady yesterday. It sounds like there hasn't really been any concessions made. I mean, he's all but said that he's only going to show up to the bare minimum that he needs to be there. He wouldn't commit to going to those other OTAs. So how does this end? If Bill Belichick continues to go, I don't want Guerrero here, and Tom Brady, this is his one sticking point, how does this end?
I think this year, I think it ends where it always ends. AFC Championship game, maybe a trip to the Super Bowl, and everybody says, you know, look, it didn't matter. You know, it won't matter until the final end. I do see Belichick as not as long-term as I once did. I mean, and the notion of McDaniels coming back after accepting another job and bringing in assistance last year, all of a sudden he's back. Clearly, Bill has had his authority usurped by, you know, needy Bob Kraft, you know, caving into the player and making him trade Garoppolo and just siding with Tom on all this stuff. So, and now the Alex thing, if there's pressure on Alex, which I can't imagine there could be after yesterday, these are not you know, helpful things if you're Bill Belichick moving forward.
Yeah, and you know what? You wrote, it was funny because I was thinking about the article you wrote the other day as I heard Tom Brady talking and not committing to those OTAs and things like that. You wrote one about at what point you were asking, you were hypothetically talking to Tom Brady, like, at what point did you become the guy who wasn't 100% in football, the guy you would have to give up your life to take me on because I've given up mine, and into the guy who is the one who doesn't show up to the OTAs and is catching passes on boats at Monaco when the rest of his team is practicing? What did you get out of yesterday's press conference? Did that kind of just, I guess, drive in the point more so that he has become a changed person this season?
Yeah, and, you know, we all change. We get older. He's got family and all that stuff. But I believe the TB12 brand, that's what he's about now. And, again, no one should have to make this choice. But if given the choice between the Patriots and TB12, what do you think he would choose? There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. Because that's going to be, I mean, it's almost a religion to him, and that's going to be his post-NFL career.
Had you heard any whispers about this, about Edelman and PEDs? Because apparently, according to Burt Breer this morning, he took this test back in March, and there's been like a lot of loose rumors around the internet. Had you heard anything about this?
I'm certainly not privy to that. I know that one of your callers to the station a day or two ago was on it, and that there was that Reddit report or whatever that thing is. Mm-hmm. And you know, they all know. I mean, Belichick, Edelman, they've known about this for quite some time. That's what was so interesting when you look back at the interviews that were given this week. They all knew this was coming out.
Yeah, I mean, you heard Edelman in that clip we played right before you came on saying sometimes in your effort to rush back, you could be your own worst enemy. And now with it, we all know what we know. It seems we know exactly what he was talking about.
And Belichick kind of smirking when he said, well, I don't have any news today. That's how we started yesterday.
Yeah. All right, well, Dan Shaughnessy, good column today. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
All right, see you, man.
Take it easy.
You got to see this photo. I'm gonna find it, and I'm going to retweet it for you, Fred.
Please.
Battle of the Young Buck sports reporter froze.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When my first stint here, I just didn't have the level of talent to compete versus the best teams in the NBA, let alone just Boston. You know, when you looked at, you know, Rondo and KG and Paul and Ray, you knew they were great basketball players, but not only great basketball players, you've seen their minds were in it too when you were playing them. They were calling out sets. You know, Rondo, excuse me, Rondo was calling out sets every time you come down, and you're like, okay, this is bigger than basketball. So not only do you have to have the talent, you got to have the minds as well. So, you know, I knew that my talent level here in Cleveland couldn't succeed getting past the Boston, getting past, you know, the San Antonios of the league.
Shots all day. If you catch me in the air, you already know my name. It's King LeBron James. I make them all say. I dunk it in your face and I hit you with the tray. I like Jordan hit shots all day. If you catch me in the air, you already know my name. It's King LeBron James. I make them all say. I dunk it in your face and I hit you with the tray. Sometimes I've been crossing you over. Every step I get, you already bending over. I'm the biggest winner. You all know the name. Got me on. Okay, I'm gonna do this.
What are you gonna do?
All he's gonna do is and he hits the J. All he's gonna do is
and by the way, this kid, don't feel sorry for me. He had a hell of a barn basketball court. Well, there's talk of LeBron James, seven teams he's interested in. The Celtics are one of them, even though Adam Jones can't bring himself to root for LeBron James. I hope Danny Ainge takes that into consideration.
That clip we just played before Hits the J, boy, does he think his players and everyone around him is stupid.
Oh, they are.
He just called them dumbasses. Yes. Every single one of them. They are. Of course they are.
He had J.R. Smith not realize what the score was.
J.R. Smith doesn't know the score. You saw his face when Tyronn Lue didn't call timeout and realized there was a timeout. He thinks everyone around him is a complete and total moron.
Some of his basketball IQ is being called into question. A lot of the players on that team were guys that he wanted. So, I mean, he's partially to blame.
Well, they had to do a complete reconfiguration of that team, and they're in the NBA Finals.
He wanted Kevin Love.
And they won with Kevin Love.
Because of him. Well, listen, Kevin Love, I'm not taking anything away. Kevin Love's a very good player. He's a really good player.
Fine.
And I love how people just dismiss him as being just another knucklehead. Like, Kevin Love is on Team USA. He's a good player.
My son this morning had an opportunity to talk about people that changed the world, and he came out in a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey and did his report on LeBron James.
Now, how did he say he changed the world?
Like, I guess he did things for charity.
Okay, well,
what do you think? I read his report.
He does do a lot for charity, yes.
What do you think I know? He was one of the options you could take.
He's a charitable a-hole.
And then the next thing, it was Abraham Lincoln. They're pretty equivalent in terms of what they've done. Derek, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Two quick points. Number one, look, we've got a great thing brewing here. We can be contenders when Golden State and Cleveland's, you know, windows have closed. So I agree with Rich on that point. We don't even know what the ceiling is here. I mean, Tatum and Brown particularly, like, you know, 20 and 21, come on. I just hope they're talking to Kyrie prior to talking to LeBron. I just don't want to alienate this guy because it seems like he's bought into being a Celtic.
Well, you know, Golden State's never going to get bad because what they're going to do is they're going to jettison Thompson and they're going to still have Green, Curry, and Durant, and that's enough.
You know what's weird is Kyrie Irving is so strange that part of me even wonders that whether he'd have a problem with LeBron James playing with him again. Whether that's just kind of all out of his system, and then it's like, all right, man, bygones be bygones, and they're buddies again. Like, Kyrie's, like, unreadable.
That's
I can't
true.
Figure out where his head is at.
Well, when you told me he has a Friends tattoo.
He does, on his arm. It's the logo of Friends.
Which is one of the worst shows in the history of the world, and TBS is doing unmitigated torture by putting it on legit 4 hours in a row. Eight episodes of Friends a day.
Oh, well, that is Kyrie's heaven, then, right there. As a huge fan, the other thing too is that you were talking about the trade they would have to make with Cleveland would involve Gordon Hayward. Two things about Gordon Hayward. Number one, people are forgetting, or maybe just don't realize this because they didn't watch a ton of Utah Jazz basketball, how unbelievably good a player Gordon Hayward is. Because you didn't see him play all season long, and you didn't really see him in Green, he is elite. He's an elite player, and people are immediately writing him off.
In Utah, in a team that scored under 100 points a game, Hayward would score routinely between 20 and 25.
And what happened this year?
Well, he hurt himself.
No, what happened this year in Utah?
They drafted very well, and Donovan Mitchell came in
and
took over.
Yep.
And they
had a great rookie. Donovan Mitchell or Hayward?
Hayward.
Hayward.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Hayward. I'd much rather have Gordon Hayward than Donovan Mitchell.
Are you saying Donovan Mitchell right now is better than Gordon Hayward right now?
Oh, I'm not saying that at all.
That's crazy.
I think you're nuts.
Well, I mean, you have a guy that dominated.
Is Donovan Mitchell a top 20 player in the NBA?
I don't think Gordon Hayward's a top 20 player in the NBA.
We disagree again because I think he is too.
Okay. I think I would much rather have Donovan Mitchell than Gordon Hayward.
Than Gordon Hayward?
No. Yes.
No.
And by the way, Utah's going to get that kid from Arizona.
Well, Utah's going to be a good team. I mean, they're going to continue to be a good team. But that's the other thing is that if that trade you were talking about, John, I don't know who proposed it.
That was the Ringer. The Ringer proposed
it. Okay, and they said you would trade Gordon Hayward and Marcus Morris and somebody else?
And a first-round pick.
All right. Even Danny Ainge, cold-blooded as Danny Ainge can be, there's no way. That would be the worst look ever.
And that's what the Ringer says that. Gordon Hayward, but Ainge is cold blooded.
I would not do that after playing 5 minutes in an injury.
I'd be very concerned about that when I'm almost guaranteeing myself a NBA championship.
Well, I mean, you see, that's the thing is that you already are set. I think you have a championship team as is.
No, you have a window. If you get LeBron James, you're winning a championship, which is all that matters. See, I used to be the fool, too, that said, oh, well, you know, build the team and do it from within.
Give me the ideal scenario for LeBron James being a Celtic. Like, give me the lineup, give me the roster, because help me figure out what would be the best case situation.
Rozier is your point guard.
You trade Kyrie to get rid of some of the money to bring in LeBron James.
Right.
Okay,
and then it would be Tatum, James, Hayward, and Horford.
And so everything else is essentially the same, except you've gotten rid of Kyrie Irving.
Or say you get rid of Jaylen Brown. So, yeah.
Or Kyrie
Irving and Tatum.
But
Jaylen Brown and Kyrie Irving you're getting rid of to get LeBron James.
Yes.
That's not awful. I mean,
he's a free agent. Am I wrong?
Who?
LeBron James.
He can opt out. He can opt out.
Yeah, yes. So he's going to opt out.
Right.
So anything you do is you're trading not to Cleveland. You're trading to anybody to free up cap space. Give me a second-round pick for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, Fred, that's not awful.
It's not, and you're going to win a championship.
Well, I mean, I still think you're going to win a championship if you have Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown.
Not in the next 2 years.
Again, you don't think this roster as constituted can't win
not in the next 2 years.
Oh, you see, I think they definitely have a chance in the next 2 years.
Here's the
thing. I'm not saying they're definitely
better than Golden State. I'm thinking they have a shot against Golden State.
No, but if you get LeBron James, you're better than Golden State. And I could make the argument since his first couple years in Miami, this is the best team that he would be the best team he's ever been on.
Yeah, the Golden State core is all 28 years, between 28 and 31 years old. In a couple of years, with all the miles on them and all the extra games on them, maybe they start to slow down a little bit. But I will say, I think the Red Sox, the Celtics are going to be good for about 3 years beyond that if they keep the core intact.
Here's the
have a chance in each of the next 2 years.
What made Golden State
and
what
better
made,
3 years
What made
after
Golden
that?
State unstoppable?
Well,
because they have
more than one star.
Yeah, no,
more than one star.
Okay, then what happened? What did they do to make themselves? Yes. What made them unstoppable?
Adding Kevin Durant.
Yes. So there you go. You had a team that was a championship team. They added Kevin Durant, and now they're going to win 75 championships in a row.
I honestly think Durant buys more into what Golden State does than LeBron has bought into any place he's gone.
Listen, Fred,
I just like these arguments.
No, Fred,
like
Fred's
not
right.
Gonna,
Fred's right. If you brought LeBron James here under the scenario he said, you're going to win a championship.
Fine.
But I also believe, and this is my stance, is that with the team that you have now, you have potential to win a championship, but the window is bigger. You have a longer window.
That's what I said yesterday.
Instead of mortgaging
and
getting
morning.
Rid of some of these guys in order to bring them in.
The goal is to win a championship, and the goal is not to win a championship
what a
2 years from now.
And what a crazy story it would be, though, if Kyrie Irving said, you know what, I'm cool with LeBron now, and the two of them play together. And you got rid of, like, Horford. I mean,
he can't get rid of Horford. He does all the little things.
He does do all the little things. I think we've learned that.
I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated with this love of Jaylen Brown. I think it's going to be interesting.
Well, Jaylen Brown's going to be a very good player. And I think saying he has a ceiling of Jimmy Butler isn't overselling it. You're talking about a ceiling. But Jason Tatum's going to be a superstar.
How many times has Jimmy Butler made the All-Star game?
At least three. Let me check.
And he was on Team USA. Jaylen Brown is never going to reach that.
You don't think he's going to be an All-Star?
I get everything right.
Once again, he's only been in the league for 2 years.
Four times, Butler. Last 4 years, okay. He's made the All-Star team.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Thank you, Stephen A. Smith, for
it's interesting,
us the topic
and as I said, the what makes it legitimately interesting and not just a hot take to throw against the wall is that it is the best decision for LeBron James. The Celtics is the best chance for him to win, and that's why this is kind of.
But if
strange.
He goes to Philadelphia, they win. I mean,
they don't automatically win.
But
with the Celtics
wins,
as strong as they are,
he wins with crap around him. If he has
against
players
crap, the Celtics had nobody.
I would like to have seen Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving play Cleveland in this last series.
Fred,
I think they win that.
You
series.
Have Hayward and Kyrie
so
against LeBron James
back
but,
next
so,
year.
But if I add LeBron James to that team, they're better than the Celtics.
I'm not convinced of that.
Okay, well, fine.
And
LeBron
therein
James,
lies the standoff we have.
LeBron,
I don't believe
LeBron
that.
You
James,
have two stars on that team.
Yes, and LeBron James makes three. And LeBron James
is the best player on the planet. Simmons is not a star.
Simmons is absolutely a star.
Can't shoot. He's not a star.
All right, Rich.
Right now, he might eventually
LeBron
get better.
On the team, he's going to be forced to.
I'll look at his numbers. Do you agree with that at least?
No, because he's going to still play point, and LeBron wants to play off the ball. Now, the ball will go through LeBron. But Ben Simmons is completely capable.
He'll play off the ball until Simmons pisses him off, and then things will change.
So these are all hypotheticals.
Well, it's been wherever he's gone. Wherever he's gone, he gets angry, and then
you know
takes
what's funny
over.
Is that he makes the finals every year.
I agree with that.
So he gets angry, and it's so bad for the team.
But those are two separate arguments. And we're just talking about
There's no second argument. He makes the finals every year.
By the way, we can't take
a call.
No, I'm not. But I'm just somebody saying that, Rich, you're crazy. Houston's the best situation for James. Nope, because it's in the West. Celtics are the best situation.
If Houston gets him, they're the best team in the West.
I would automatically say that.
LeBron James makes the finals pretty much literally every year.
They're better than Golden State.
He does it by himself.
They're better than Golden State. Houston with LeBron James is better than Golden State.
Yes. Yes. 100 times yes. All right, we have to break. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich. It's the stat.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I will mention this one more time, and then I will leave everyone alone. Anthony Bourdain has committed suicide at the age of 61. And you wouldn't think that that was someone who would do it. And my advice to people, as I gave out earlier, but I feel a responsibility to do it again, is I have suffered from depression and anxiety since I was in high school. And I have gone to therapy on and off since that point. And first of all, I believe that everyone should be in therapy. I don't think that everyone's got it all together, and sometimes a neutral party, or all the time a neutral party that you talk to, is beneficial. But you got to try them on. I mean, don't go to one person and then go, it didn't work. Because there's ultimately someone that will work for you, and there's different forms of therapy. And I have been medicated since I've been something like 26, and it took a million tries to figure out what the right combination of medicine is. I've had a couple friends that committed suicide, and quite frankly, there was nothing I could do about it. I mean, everyone says I wish I would have done something, but I mean, you don't know. I mean, there's no outward, a lot of times, any outward action that the person takes, or a gigantic mood swing. And again, it's a lot of times, and in a lot of people, many, many people, it's a chemical imbalance. And if you have a broken arm, you would go to a doctor to get your broken arm fixed. If you are feeling anxiety, depression, and a lot of people are stupid and they'll go, oh, why are you depressed? You're doing so well. Well, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade were doing quite well. And what happens is that it's not about that. And in fact, that can make it worse. Because you say, well, I've achieved all this and I should be happy. And Bourdain's got a kid. And it's just not enough. You feel it's an undescribable feeling. I've often been in awe of people that have no, that they're not living with something that's constantly grinding on their brain. It's weird to me. I've talked about it on the show before. I don't understand how that happens. But my advice to everybody, this is advice for everyone, go to a therapist. My advice to you, if you feel bad mentally, is A, don't look at it and go, well, everything's going well, and I don't know why, so I'm messed up. No, that doesn't have anything to do with it. If you feel bad, if you have strep throat, you go and you get an antibiotic. What are you laughing at? I'm doing a sincere thing here. If you have strep throat, you go and get medicine. Go. And I'm not saying that you're suicidal. I'm not suicidal. But I'm telling you, why live with it? Why sit and live with it? If there's a way to get to, you know, in some fashion to improve the way you feel, just do it. It's not hard. And again, if you go to a therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist and you don't like them, then go to another. You'll find the right fit. It takes time. And also what it does is it raises a bit of hope, much like anything else, that you're feeling like you're doing something about it. It's like a first step. It's just, you know, with anything, like if you're like, okay, I'm addressing this problem. And again, it took me, and I don't know if I'm all right. It's a hard world. I don't know if I'm all right. I haven't found the magic potion. But I mean, I've tried every drug under the planet. And now I feel I've found some mixture that helps. But you gotta just, if you feel bad, don't sit with it.
Find somebody. It doesn't even need to be a therapist. I know that you, it's
fine
for you.
Go to a priest or whatever you want to do. But if you feel bad, and this isn't an after school special thing, I'm telling you from experience. Look, I had two of my best friends commit suicide, and there's nothing I could have done. Nothing. I had no idea in the world that they would commit suicide. Much like I would imagine Anthony Bourdain's friends didn't go, oh, well, he's going to commit suicide soon. So I'm not telling you, like, you know, just reach out and call the suicide hotline. I'm telling you, if you feel bad, there are things that can make you feel a little bit better. They're not cure-alls. But if you feel that bad and there's a way to feel better, go. And by the way, no, Rich says don't go to therapists. Go to a therapist.
No, I see you talk to somebody, somebody.
Go to a therapist.
Well, it doesn't work for everybody.
Go to a professional.
Therapists don't work for everybody.
Well, then what does?
How about talking to a family member? How about talking to a priest?
It does. You need to talk to a someone who is a neutral party.
Not always. And I'm speaking from experience. I mean, when Mary was going through what she was going through, I mean, these were dark times. They told me she was going to die.
Right.
So when something like that happens, you know, they see what you're doing and you're trying to keep up a good, you know, a good face. And they said, maybe you should talk to somebody. I talked to somebody. I hated it. And they said, well, you got to speak to somebody. So I found a family member and it worked.
It
doesn't have to be a therapist. And sometimes people go to a therapist. I understand.
I
understand. I'm just saying that it doesn't always work for everybody. Just find someone. And that's the key. I mean, it's just being able to not even unload,
I'm putting all my money on the therapist, and is what I'm doing. I'm doubling down on the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trained in it. I'm doubling down on that. And plus, if you need medicine, they can give you medicine. So that's my thing, is that I would go to a psychiatrist, is what I would do. They're trained in it, and they can prescribe the medicine that you may need. Because it could be a chemical imbalance, it could be a lot of things.
And you know what, just don't be that guy today, too. Don't be the one that goes and says, well, this person was selfish, and you know, I think...
There's nothing less selfish than committing suicide. Do you think that people that commit suicide... That it doesn't destroy them, that they're unaware that they have children and wives. What moron? Do you understand how bad you have to feel?
It happens every time. It happens every time.
Well, then it's idiots. And you know what? Those people should be in therapy for their lack of empathy. And again, everything to me is psychiatrists, because they can give you the pills if you need them. I'm not lying. It helped me a lot. But if people go like, he's selfish. Right. He was obviously he didn't care about his family. And that tells you all you need to know about depression and being suicidal, is that beside the fact that you are in a relationship with obviously someone you love, and you're obviously in love with your child, and the last thing you want to do to hurt him, but it's so overwhelmingly painful that you make that decision. Selfish, please. Like these people run around like, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm just going to commit suicide. It'll be fun for a day. It's selfish. It's so selfish.
Get ready.
I don't care what anyone says. It's so selfish. You know, Bourdain was like, you know what would really piss my kids off is if I commit suicide today. It's such a darkness that it's despite all those things. You don't think I don't know if he had a girlfriend or wife. You don't think that he loved the person he was with. You don't think that he loved his child. You don't think that it was eating away at him, and that wasn't something that was considered the entire time. He felt that the peace that would provide him was the what he needed. And Rich, you should have stayed with the psychiatrist. You're doing very poorly.
It worked for me to not be. I didn't like him. I didn't like therapy at all. I hated it. I went to one session. I hated it.
Well, you should go to a psychiatrist. Okay. Here's the thing that I will say is that's bad advice, because
I'm not giving advice. I'm just saying that
because if you don't like,
it doesn't
if
work
you
for
don't
everybody.
Like, well, it should. If you go to one therapist and it doesn't work, go again to someone else. It's like,
and I did, and it was a family member, and it worked.
Good, fine.
Yeah,
that's you.
Yes.
But I think it's irresponsible to tell people that if you go to a therapist and you don't like it, not to try again.
I'm not telling people to do that. I'm saying what worked for me.
You piped in with your stupid opinion.
Yes.
Family member. They're judging you the whole time.
You got to find the right one. I know there's wrong ones I could have gone to, yes. Yeah. There are definitely wrong ones, and they were chosen very carefully.
Right. Well, so my advice to you is there is at least something that can dull it. I'm not telling you, but believe me, it doesn't fix you. It does not fix you. The root of the problem is still there. You don't go in and then go like come out like 6 months later and go like yes. You know. If you're going through something like Rich was going through something, I mean, obviously there's a cathartic experience once that ends. But if you're dealing with something that you don't quite understand and there is no eureka moment, I will tell you that. That is the case. But it's manageable. And think about that. Think about how nice it would be to manage something, that it doesn't overtake your life anymore. And that's possible. And I'm here to tell you that. My anxiety level is been controlled. Is it still there? Absolutely. But it's not overwhelming my life that it had in the past. And that's the last I'll say about that. I take Paxil and Lamotrigine. One's blue, one's white.
Okay.
So I got those. And don't take Xanax as a replacement for every time you have problems, because you don't want to get addicted to Xanax, because that ain't nothing that's easy to kick, I've been told, by Stephen Tower's book. So there you have it. This message has been brought to you by the Fred Toucher Foundation for people with problems.
Please don't let me do a read here. I don't have a live read here, do I?
I don't think I was too heavy with that.
Thank you. Oh, I do?
Was that too heavy?
Can we do something? No. Can we do like a...
Was I being overwhelmingly heavy?
No. The transition is hard.
Fred, but like when we talked about it earlier, it was
sensitive,
like...
Sensitive material. You were very eloquent in describing it.
We had this discussion about suicide, and then literally...
Then he has to do a live read for something else, and one would think you'd need a buffer between the two. I'm agreeing with Rich here. We need like a 15-second something here.
You know,
like a Mr. Bucket commercial, something.
Something produced between us talking about...
That depression.
I don't think I was overly heavy about it.
No one's, but Fred, this has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the subject matter transition to a live read.
I think I was completely honest. I had two friends that committed suicide. There was no outward signs that they were going to do it. I don't think that there's anything.
This is not a referendum on you at all.
It's tough to plug something.
It has nothing to do with you here. There's nothing to do with you.
It has to do with presentation.
You presented it really tremendously.
Well, I've been told to stretch this for another 45 seconds. So again, these things are manageable. You can manage it. I'm not telling you it's going to go away, but it's manageable. And certainly, I would, again, if you had a sore leg or a bum knee, you would, and it was hurting you and it was bothering you, you'd go to a doctor and you get it fixed. And my point is, do that. And if it doesn't work the first time, keep going. There's no, you might go to, just like in any other profession, there's crappy ones and then there's good ones. And if you find one you like, stick with them. All right. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. And that is my public service announcement about how I struggle with anxiety and depression. And that's the way we'll leave it. Everyone have a great weekend. That'll do it for us. Bye.